You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Look at that. He walks through the door and the sun comes out. Walter Rossi, that's the power of the man. How are you? Is your mic on? Is his mic on?
Oh, well, the mic. I just turned it.
It's on now. We're good. How was your week?
My week was fabulous. Very busy.
Fabulous. You're setting the bar high, my friend.
I'm telling you. It's a choice. It's a choice you have to make every morning.
It's a perspective.
It is. Definitely life. Perspective. Right. The sun is shining in my head every day.
All right. Hey, we had, I was telling the crew, I guess it wasn't last night, it was the night before. It was the ice pellets and freezing rain woke me up hitting the window in the bathroom. It was, we had a nasty morning, not yesterday, then the morning before with the snow and then the ice pellets.
Yeah, it was a bit windy as well.
Yeah. It was a little tricky on the roads.
I have to do a follow-up more like a thank you from a listener from last week.
Okay.
She sent us a nice email, and we always like to have those follow-up from our callers because, you know, it makes us know if we're really helping in their situation. And this is from Catherine. I mean, she sent me an email, but I figured I'll just read it. It's a very short email on the radio. This is just to thank Walter for suggesting to a caller to contact a roofing contractor a couple of weeks ago. We're having the same problems with icicles and leak as she described. A contractor was called. Snow and ice dams were removed. Today the contractor was here and went into the attic, which is good. Something no other roofer has done. That's always a good sign.
Yeah.
He found a disgusting mess, which will be taken care of in the spring. Thank you, Walter, for the information you gave us to the radio and for mentioning that the roofer needs to look in the attic as well. I told the contractor to I had heard about contacting contractor on CJAD, and he said he will get you a bottle of wine. So I'm holding him up to it. But it'll be a red wine. I don't drink water.
Well, that's a nice letter, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it works. Roofers should go to attics. For me, if they don't go in an attic, I wouldn't even consider them in my job.
I remember you saying that. That's almost like the deal breaker, right? If they're not going up there.
Means they don't care.
Yeah.
That's, for me, this is what it means. It's as simple as that. I know we have a switchboard full of callers, so I think you want me to go straight to it, don't you?
514-790-0800. We're going to start with Perry, who's calling from LaSalle. Perry, it's a cathedral ceiling issue, right?
Good morning. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I had ice dams, and I called the contractor who put the roof on. He came over right away and broke it all up, seemed to solve the problem. But the thing is that there was quite a bit of water that came down, and it was pooled in my basement. It was coming down from the roof, or whichever place, and going behind the wall. So I had water coming in at over one of my window frames. But now I have a white circle on the outside of my bricks. It's about 30 inches in diameter. It's a chalky substance. And now, you know, there must be some kind of damage inside the wall, I'm thinking. Or that's why I'm asking
a
call.
So what you're seeing is efflorescence. And that is a good observation that you had. This is when your cement gets saturated with water. And then the salt pushes out of your cement, okay? So that's what you're seeing. That white, chalky substance is usually a sign of some type of excess humidity on the concrete. So that is a telltale sign for you where the water could be coming from. Now, that means somehow the water is finding its way through the brick and going above that window frame, which only tells me one thing. It's either the roof or some type of mortar missing in the brick. We cannot always ignore that, especially with directional rain. Anytime you have mortar missing in the brick and the joints are kind of ignored, water will come in. It would not come in every time it rains, but you take an example of a couple of days ago that Ken was talking about, where you had the wind and the ice pellets and the rain, and it was pushing through to the house and what have you. The water gets into that vertical space, and then it will find its way down. Now, that could be the entry point. I don't know if you have missing mortar in this area. Did you look if you had missing mortar on the brick?
If I do, it's not evident, really. I'm going to go up and take a better look at it when the weather permits. But
so one of the other things you want to look for is the caulking around the windows, obviously. Mm-hmm. Any sills, any window sills, that's another place. And then you can always, if you can, sneak into your attic to see if the plywood is wet. Now, it's a good time to do it when you see the water coming in, because it tells you, when it's fresh, you see the stain on the plywood right away, and from then you can know if it's coming really from the roof. Yeah. So go ahead.
The cathedral ceiling, though, I can't get up there.
Yeah, that is a problem indeed. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, if you can't start with these things, when it comes to water infiltration, it's a trial and error. It's an elimination process. So you go with the most obvious sign that you see, and you work your way down the list.
Okay.
Now, you had ice damming, and ice damming usually tells me that there's something that is not inadequate in the attic. It could also be the frozen downspouts from the gutter. Could be many things. So you could do different things to try to solve it. One of them is heated wires inside the gutter area. So you keep the gutter flowing and the water in the gutter flowing, and then you kind of decrease the amount of ice damming.
That's a good idea. Is there any way I can insulate a cathedral ceiling from the inside? Are there some kind of panels, low-profile panels, that I can attach to the underside of the ceiling?
You could lower it. What you do is if you don't want to take out the drywall and go through that whole thing, which would be the best-case scenario if you do that, but let's say you don't, then what you do is you could put 2x6 straps or 2x3 straps, and then you could insulate that, so you kind of lower the ceiling about anywhere between three to six inches, depending on how much insulation you want to put there, and that will help. Okay,
yeah,
that will help. Now, you know, typically, what should have happened is, if I was that roofer, I would have made an opening in the plywood, and I would have poked into that ceiling to see the type of insulation that's present there, and gave my recommendations across, because it could have been done from the top as well. You could have removed the plywood, shut urethane, and gave you a beautiful insulation in the attic. It was not done. It's too late. So now you have to go back and kind of deal with it. But before you go with the big show, try to focus on the little things, because it could also not be coming from the roof. Okay, so look at these things that we talked about. Look what's above the water damage, that area in the where the efflorescence is. What's above it? Where the water could be coming from? Is it loose joints somewhere? Is it coming from, missing caulking? And then we'll work down our list to go to something a bit more drastic.
Process of elimination.
Yeah, it is. Eh? Mm-hmm. Do you have any opinion, on PureLift also for leveling concrete paths?
It works.
It's good? Is it environmentally friendly?
It's urethane. So what they do is they spray foam underneath anything that is kind of sunk, and the foam goes underneath and kind of lifts it and gets used as a base. So there's nothing wrong with it there. It works in a lot of cases. And it's way cheaper than breaking the concrete and doing it again.
Yeah. All right, then. Thanks for your time, guys.
Oh, Perry, appreciate the call. Good luck with it.
Okay, thanks, Ken.
You're welcome. Bye now. Yeah. Cathedral ceilings, it's a challenge, right?
Because
of access.
It's access is important for you to always evaluate any issue that happens on the long term. Condensation is a big issue in attics, and condensation does not really tell you about problems. It's just festive there, and then one day someone opens that attic and they find all kind of problems. So if you can have a hatch to inspect it, great. If you can't, when you do the roof, get it open and look down there.
Just about 9:15. Peter, hang on. Lewis as well. And a line just freed up. If you want to call and talk to Walter and pick his brain, do so now at 514-790-0800.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It is kind of an overcast morning at the moment, but chilly out there. It's 9:20 with Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Right back to the phone, and this is Peter up in St. Marceau-le-Lac. Peter, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for a helpful show.
No, thank you. Let's talk talk about your rain gutters.
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly. Well, when I bought the house 2 years ago here in St. Martin le Lac, they don't have rain gutters. I'd like to get some advice on installing the rain gutters, please.
What kind of advice?
Well, what should I look out for when I ask somebody to come and install them? And okay. Does your company install them?
We do, but I get you. I have to tell you, gutters get booked up so fast. Any company that does gutters. I'll give you a few pointers, if you wish, or a few things to look for.
Yes, please.
Now, if you do consider that you have a larger roof, meaning especially in areas where the span of the roof is large,
okay.
And a good amount of water can go down the gutter. You want to have a 6-inch gutter.
6-inch? Okay.
That's correct. So the size of the gutter is how much water it takes. usually the standard is about 5, but okay. They can go up to 6. They don't always tell you that because they consider 6 commercial quality.
Okay.
But, you know, some residential roofs that we've seen will require that because the span is way too long. Or you don't have a long enough gutter in that space to evacuate the water fast enough.
Okay, fine.
So the bigger the gutter, the better it is. Obviously, okay. If it's not going to hinder the look of the house. 6 and 5, you don't see much of a difference, okay?
Okay.
You want a seamless gutter as much as possible. So you want it to be continuous and, you know,
yes.
one piece.
Okay.
And what's important is when you do the downspout, if you want to see if you can have that in an underground drain, if possible.
Underground? Okay.
That's right. So it goes all the way down, you dig a trench, and the water gets evacuated. And that kind of really eliminates a lot of problems for you. That it will require landscaping. That's bad because you
yes,
are
okay.
digging
that's,
trenches.
That's what I need.
Yeah, but what happens is when you're doing that, I call it a party. You're doing the gutter party. You kind of try to see that everything around that party, if you can make it a full, a beautiful party and do everything right one time.
Okay.
Now, when you do those drains, what's going to happen is automatically you're going to have the gutter extension issue solved because it
okay.
is a battle that everybody fights. And, you know, in the winter, those gutter extensions tend to freeze up and they don't work anymore and you have to take them out. But then we
okay.
have a lot of mild days in the winter, so we still got water coming down the gutter and so on and so forth, right? So
yes.
that is a good, that would be another thing that I would definitely look for if I can. And that's pretty much it. There's nothing really, there's nothing really difficult as far as, you know, as far as choosing, the color is obviously important as well. But ask those questions because sometimes the what they do is the gutter
yes.
companies, they make those decisions for you. So very seldom they'll ask you these questions.
Okay.
Now, the tricks are very simple. Up there, you want to be matching your soffits and your fascia as a color.
Okay.
On the downspout side, you want to be matching your cladding, your exterior cladding, whether it's siding
okay.
or bricks or anything like that. You want to go down with the same color.
Okay.
And sometimes in the downspout, you will see 2 or 3 colors because the cladding changes. So let's say at the top part, you have siding that is aluminum, and then on the bottom you have brick, and they're 2 different
okay.
colors. That color should transition because you don't really want your gutters downspout to pop out as a
no, that's for sure. Yeah,
as a color.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but I mean,
okay.
if you can get 6 inches, that would be awesome. It's a bit more expensive, but it's so worth it.
Worth it. Yeah. All right.
Oh no, it's okay because it's a good investment. Should I do the landscaping before the gutters or what?
No, you're going to do the landscaping after the gutters. Because
okay, after the gutters,
yeah,
okay.
because a good gutter installer does not necessarily always follow the same plan as before. So they might decide to put you the downspout somewhere else.
Okay.
Just because where the previous installer did not put it in the right places. Or if you see problematic area, that's very important. You mention it to the gutter guy. You say, look, this area has always been, I've always had the gutters overflowing in this area, or this area has always been problematic. So they look at different ways to kind of maybe change the direction of the gutter or the slant, so it, you know, the downspout is on the other side or what have you, or a longer span. So you wait for these downspouts to be installed, and that will determine for you where your trenches are going to be dug.
Okay, very good. What's the name of the landscaping company in your organization?
You're going to have to call us off the air for that, but we'll try to assist.
Can you give me the number, please?
856-9993.
9993, 856-9993. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Now, that's a good, helpful advice.
No problem. Thank you, Peter.
Have a nice day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ken knows I don't like to advertise a company on the show.
No, it's not a problem. I don't have any suppliers in the house. It's relatively new and good condition, you know, and I need help to get started.
Very good. Well, you came to the right place. Thanks, Peter.
Oh, yeah. You've got good advice. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. You know the extensions, the accordion-like extensions for your gutters, your downspout that you put at the bottom? I find they don't withstand our winters. Mine are always cracking.
Do you screw it in?
Try
to screw it in and try to have it supported. That's why it's
supported.
Cracks. Yeah, meaning underneath. If it have any void underneath, with the weight of the ice, it does crack. You're right.
Yeah.
So if you can have it, sometimes you have those
trays.
Trays, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works.
You're right. 9:27. We're gonna try to sneak in a call. We got 3 minutes here. You want to do it? Let's do it.
Sure.
All right. Lewis, if we run out of time, we'll carry over to the other side. You want to talk about a crawl space, right? In an old house.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call. We live in an old house in downtown Montreal, built in 1895. The bones are good. Like, the crawl space is clean. We've cleaned it up. We fixed a few spots that needed support. I put some plastic down in a few spots, most of it. But we're now at the stage, and we've been thinking about this, how to really complete it by properly encapsulating it. Something we could do ourselves, we think, if we, for example, we're converging towards Rockwool insulation for the stone walls. But everyone keeps saying, well, you should just spray foam the stone walls. So we're curious to see what your thoughts are for encapsulating the stone wall of an old house in the crawl space.
Is a stone, it's a foundation stone, or is just as a cladding? It's probably a foundation stone, right?
It's a very wide, large foundation made of big stone.
Yeah.
Good shape, though.
Yeah, that's good. What I like about before we encapsulate anything, to see if there's any thing we need to do to the stones, because when the mortar is cracked and there's water coming in, you don't see it when you encapsulate it, you know, with urethane, it becomes an issue. Now, if you think you need to get to it at one point, the other trick would be is to create some type of a structure, if you want, in front of it, and then insulating that structure. So build a 2x4 wall or something. Only because in the future you might need to get to it, and it's going to be very hard to do it from, you know, if you have it encapsulated or urethane. Now, if you already did the maintenance on the wall and there's no mortar to fill, because stone foundation is like a brick or stones on a facade of a house. Every few years you might need to come in and do some joint repair and what have you. If you find that it's good for a while, then by all means, you can urethane it. It's not a problem.
Lewis, can I ask, if you have more questions, I'm going to ask you to hold and we'll bring you back on the other side of the news. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
All right, don't go anywhere. We're up against the clock, but Lewis will be back and we'll get to Philip and Marilyn as well. It's Ken Connors along with Walter Assey from Renovco, 514-790-0800. Coming back right after the news.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
9:35 with Ken alongside Walter from Renovco. Lewis, you're still there. We're just going to wrap up about your crawl space issue here.
Yeah, hi, Lewis.
Lewis, are you still there? Oh, you know what? I pulled up the wrong line. My apologies. Butterfingers. Lewis, sorry about that. We got you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Loud and clear.
Okay, yeah. So we're down to three choices, really. We talked to a company who could come in and encapsulate it. They use foam boards up against the wall. We read the fine print, though, and they said the foam should be covered by the resident. I assume, like, applied gyprock or something. that's not really realistic. We're leaning towards rock wool because of the properties. We kind of like that it's a safe product that gives us access anywhere after it's installed. And finally, it's spray foam, and we're not sure about that. We're talking to folks about the cost here.
So, Lewis, there are many, many things that I want you to look at in each particular choice that you're going to make. There's going to be pros and cons, right? The urethane will be a great choice if you are not as much, concerned about the humidity coming down from the foundation. Because when you encapsulate it like this, it will take a long time for you to see if there's any water infiltration in certain areas. Okay, so that's one thing. But beside that, it will work. Now, there is a catch, though. Urethane is like foam. It is flammable. So as far as insurance is concerned, it has to be covered with some type of a fire retardant like drywall.
Right.
Or a centrifuge, meaning a cement coating that they shoot after the urethane is applied. So it's the same company usually, and what they do is they shoot the urethane, and then afterwards they put this again, it's sprayed in cement, if you wish, and that create your fire retardant.
Okay.
So that's as far as insulate urethane. Now, what I don't like about the styrofoam as much. The styrofoam is not going to give you nowhere near the RF value, because probably the most you're going to go with is about 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nowhere near where you can get out of urethane. And because the stone foundation is corrugated, it will never sit right on the foundation. Like on a flat foundation, when it's concrete, styrofoam would work because it's tongue and grooved, and you will PL glue it and put it on the thing, and it kind of gives you, if you want a better insulation with no gaps. It's very hard to do with styrofoam. It was a stone foundation and styrofoam boards. So I would eliminate that altogether, because there's no added value. And then you would have to do the drywall, which means you have to build your 2x4 structure and what have you. The rock wool is a good thing because it's a fire retardant and it's water proof and everything else. But how are you going to install it? You need to have some type of 2x4 structure in order to install it. You can't just like tap it into the foundation.
So right. No, that's the part of the puzzle here. We're trying to brainstorm how to, I think we could mount a vertical post from the joist to keep it snug against the wall. But that's where we're at now. We're leaning towards the rock wool and just trying to complete the puzzle of how we're going to do the work.
The rock wool for me is probably going to be the more challenging, especially if the crawl space have no cement slab, if it's on earth, because I don't see how you're going to build your 2x4s or, you know, any type of structure that the insulation can be held in place. And be careful, insulation should not be compacted. It should take its full space without being kind of pressed down. So you need to keep it comfortable and fully inflated, if you wish.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Lewis, good luck with it. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. We're going to move quickly to Pierrefonds. I believe it's Shailesh. Is that Shailesh?
Yep, that's me.
Hi, how are you? You want to talk about air conditioning?
Yes, or the one that I'm planning to put. By the way, you guys have a great show, and I enjoy listening to you every Saturday morning.
Thank you. Yeah.
So my question is this. I have a cottage.
Mm-hmm.
It's facing west. It's so we get a lot of heat, I mean, sunshine during the summer months. I have a baseboard heating, not a central air heating. So my front of the house or one side of the house gets really, really hot. I do have on the cottage on the top floor in the hallway, I do have one wall-mounted air conditioning unit, but mm-hmm. that doesn't really do the job. It gives some comfort, but nothing really fantastic. So I was thinking that I was looking at different alternatives, and one of them was that someone suggested I put a machine at the outside, a heat pump outside,
mm-hmm.
and then the spider system in the attic. And then I just wanted to cool down only the top floor. because I don't want to bring the pipes from the closet and so on and so forth and have a condensation problem. But even what someone suggested to me, I'm still concerned about the condensation in the attic as well as any possible leaking in the attic. I really don't want to have that problem in order to, you know, give me more comfort with air conditioning. Your suggestions?
The ducting in the attic is probably one of the worst choices you can make in our weather. Mm-hmm. Just imagine, the duct is going to be in the coldest area in the winter when you need it for heat, and in the mm-hmm. hottest area in the summer when you need it to cool. So already mm-hmm. you're fighting a losing battle. Now, if you want to do that, and it have to be extremely well insulated. And when I say extremely, I mean extremely well insulated. And even then, I'm not even sure that you can succeed mm-hmm. because, you know, it depends on the depth of the attic, your access point in the attic. You know, very seldom that you're going to have an attic that is fully accessible that you can get to every corner of that duct to have it properly insulated. So it's a hard no for me mm-hmm. as far as okay. I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. What you could do instead is you can have the multi-head split system, and they can go up to, I think, anywhere between 3 to 5. The minimum you can go with one, and there's some systems right now, if I'm not mistaken, can go up to 5 heads.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever you have right now as a system, it's a copy-pasted into different rooms. And, you know, it's one heat pump outside.
Mm-hmm.
But they follow the same type of principle that you have in your hallway, except that you have multiple heads. That would be the best case scenario for you. And okay. What I would do if I were you at the same time is I would buy it as an air conditioner and a heat pump at the same time.
It is. Mine is already.
Beautiful. So if you're going to upgrade to the 3 to 5 head system, depending on what you need, then I would make sure that it's also a heat pump, because that will help. Now, I don't like the fact that it's installed all the way up to the ceiling because hot air rises.
Yeah.
But, you know, in days that it's not very cold, like when it's 7, 9, 10 degrees, it does help, right? And in days that it's extremely cold, it does help as an auxiliary type of a heat.
Exactly.
Because your roofing system, your furnace system, I should say, does not necessarily heat or cool every room the same way. So that's a good compensation, if you wish, if you need to kind of have some type of an auxiliary heat.
Mm. Okay, so going back to what you were saying, I could actually upgrade my existing wall-mounted machine, and I can have a split, like open up branches from there to go into different rooms.
That's correct. Right now they do the splits with you know, it's one heat pump and they have multiple areas. So in your case, if it's just to help cool off the second floor, you might just be good with two, really. You put one in the master, one in the hallway, and you know, you keep the door open, and that might just do the trick. You might not need to go to three necessarily. Especially if you go with like 18,000 BTUs or bigger, then you're good.
That's what I was going to also. Mine is currently 12,000. I don't know why. I didn't know enough, I guess. So I started with the suggestion provided by the company, but it was done by Sears back in the day.
Right.
12,000 BTU. And this is another thing that I thought perhaps I should increase that capacity to 18,000 BTU.
18,000, certain cases 24,000, depending on how big your second floor is. Right. But 18,000 usually will be my minimum benchmark. I very rarely install a 12,000, to be quite frank.
Shailesh, hope that was some help for you.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
950 Ken and Walter. Walter from Renovco is answering another call here from Philip out in Dorval. Hi, Philip.
Hi, Walter and Ken.
Hi.
Just to tell you, I have all brick house. It's concrete bricks. They're like roughly about a foot long by about 2 inches. And there's a hairline crack under the main floor, my family room, just right underneath the ledge. And it's a vertical crack. It goes roughly about 4 feet down. It zigs a little bit, and it's about maybe about a millimeter to two millimeters wide. A few years ago, a mason came by the house and said I had to take the bricks out, at least those that are like in that condition, and then replace them. What do you suggest?
Okay. Now, have the cracks kind of got worse with the years? Or
no.
It's the same
thing.
Okay. And you're sure when you say it's a hairline crack?
Yeah. It's about, let's say, about 2 millimeters at the most.
Okay. If you look closely, do you think the crack is going all the way through?
I didn't really look because it was, well...
In terms of how deep
it
is?
Because if it does, usually... The good news for you, Philip, if it does, usually that crack would have become worse. Why? Because the snow and the ice would kind of... And the water would go in there, and when it freezes, it expands, and boom, you're going to have a bigger crack in your bricks. So chances are that it doesn't go all the way through. So you could buy yourself a few more years. You could buy yourself a few more years.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be done right away. That will be my opinion. Unless you see it getting worse.
It's not. Because even like 2-3 years ago, it was the same.
Okay. And how about the mortar around it?
The mortar is okay. But in some parts, the mortar too, again, just goes down like about 4 feet, roughly.
All right. So I would worry more about the mortar at this point, if there's anything to be filled up. The brick itself, if the crack did not get worse, I would wait a few years.
Okay. But like I said, the house was built in 93. And anyway.
I mean...
And I know the bricks are very hard to replace.
Yeah, but I mean, look, in a case where the crack did not go all the way through, what a good bricklayer would do is will pop out that brick and then will flip it and then use the back facing of it by keeping the same brick. So the crack side would be to the inside, and that way if there's any water that comes in, it does not affect it.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's a risk because when you take out bricks, you can break some of them, and it becomes a nightmare to replace.
Yeah.
Preemptively, I would take that brick and I would, you know, go to Webster or Montreal Briquetière. Sometimes what they do is they have old bricks, the recycled bricks from jobs, and they buy them.
Yeah.
And it will take potentially few visits for you to find what you need. And because you are not pressed for one right now, I would start the shopping from now to see if I can get those bricks. And if you do find them, get yourself a bunch, keep them in your shed. In case you need them in the future, you'll have them readily available. The worst thing you could do is to run and shop for them when you need them tomorrow or yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
I can't put something like caulking or...
I mean, you could. It's going to look ugly. It's not going to be, you know, if you don't care about the look, you could.
It's the back of the house anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, you could. It's
yeah, but
it's
I'll
a
have
bubble.
To look in the spring to see if it's all the way through.
Exactly. See if there's any more bricks that are cracking, because there could be an underlying reason for that. It could be, the structure around the window or windowsill that's leaking or some type of, you know, issue or a foundation crack at the bottom that is making the structure a bit unstable.
No.
So you kind of have to, you know, that's what happens with when you see some type of vertical crack, is you just want to keep an eye on it to see if it's getting worse. That's the most important
thing.
That
hasn't changed.
If it's stabilized and it's good, you could leave it alone for a few years.
Okay. All right.
Philip, thanks for the call. Good luck with it.
Okay, bye.
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 Is it an issue then? I mean, about finding the right match in terms of the color of the brick?
I mean, if in his case it's in the back of the house and he doesn't care,
right,
I mean,
okay.
At this point he wants to put caulking, so,
okay.
You know, putting a different brick is not going to be as much
evident.
Of an issue. But, you know, it's always a great idea if you find that the bricks are starting to deteriorate to start the shopping process before, because a lot of the time they're discontinued, and he's right.
Mm.
But what you want is reclaimed bricks or recycled bricks, and it takes some time to find these.
Something I forgot to mention to you last week, and it's just a note of caution. When it comes to, we're getting we have 2 days of snow coming up this week.
Yes.
And there was a tragic story from a couple of weeks ago. A gentleman in Laval died because he had a large buildup of snow on his temple.
and it collapsed on him and killed him. So, you know, we talk a lot about snow on the roof, but snow on the temple is something you've got to keep an eye out for as well.
100%. And you see that very often. The temples are not designed to withstand. They're not as structural as trusses. And it's not even close to what they can withstand in weight. So if you do have a temple, if you're not removing a snow, just remove the whole temple. It's that simple. Because it will happen that, you know, you will have a load sometime in the winter that is heavier than what the temple could take.
Yeah, and plus with our crazy weather, you know, you have snow, then mixed with rain, and it gets so heavy. Mm-hmm. The weight is
do it when it snows and it's fresh. That's the best time to do it. If you do it the day after, it becomes heavier as the time progresses, for sure.
That's another issue, though, when it comes to access, right? Like
yeah, big wide brooms and what have you. But yeah. Well, that's why I'm saying if you can do it with if you can't clean the snow because of certain restrictions, you're better off not putting the temple all together.
Walter, my friend, thank you for a great hour.
Always a pleasure.
Walter Assey from Renovco. Thank you for the phone calls. It's about 2 minutes to go before 10 o'clock. That means news is standing by, the latest from the newsroom. And then Lisa's ready to go with more calls and questions on The Car Show coming up here at 10 o'clock at 10:05 on CJAD 800. Dean Bertoia, thank you very much. Dean's sticking around to run the board. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning as of 6 o'clock.